Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You're very welcome to Liveline. Philip Boucher, he's in for Joe for the afternoon. As you've been hearing from our colleague Kieran Mullooly in the news at 1, Kilminchie Lodge, 31 cases there, 10 staff, 21 residents, 3 now dead and 1 person in a very serious situation. The whole country, it would seem, in an increasingly serious situation. Sandra Kelly, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good now, thank you.
You've been waiting 5 days. 5 days for a test for your grandson, which is one story, but getting a test for him in the very first place was another story altogether.
Absolutely, yeah. Let me bring you back to last Tuesday evening. Throughout the night, he presented himself with a temperature in the 40s. Now he is disabled and quite vulnerable. Can't talk. He suffers with Wolff-Hirschhorn syndrome.
What's that now, Sandra?
Throughout the night, he had a temperature.
What's Wolff-Hirschhorn syndrome, though?
It's where the tail of the chromosome may be missing. So it presents itself in different ways. So it could present mobility. It could present lack of focal, it could present blindness, it could present any number of issues.
Okay, and for him it's communication?
Absolutely, and mobility. So
so basically the poor little mite isn't able to tell you what's wrong with him when he has a temperature of 40.
Absolutely. His parents are amazing, they can read him, his reaction, his temperature, whatever. But they rang the doctor first thing Wednesday morning, and naturally the doctor advised a COVID test. That was Wednesday morning. This is now Monday, and we have still no results.
If there are mobility and communication issues there, I presume you can't just roll up to one of the drive-in test centres with
him? No, absolutely not. Because at the time he had a temperature, he was going into febrile convulsions. And then for him to be moved, they couldn't bring him anywhere.
Oh, God.
To get a test. So the doctor called an ambulance to take the test. So that was taken on the Wednesday.
And how would he react, Sandra, do you think, if he had to be taken away in the ambulance and brought to hospital? Would that nearly be more upsetting for him?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because in his world, it's his voice. He hears voices. So his parents' voices are very much his lifeline.
Okay. And without those voices and with the voices of strangers, he'd be quite distressed, would he?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
So the paramedics in the ambulance took the test anyway, which was presumably the lesser of two evils if he had to get a test.
Yeah.
And you haven't got a result.
No. This is Monday. And he has two sisters and they were pulled out of school and they haven't gone back since because they were all told to self-isolate. So you're talking Wednesday. It's now Monday. And for me, my anger or my upset is I had a COVID test several weeks ago and I got my result within 3 days. And I have heard of many other people that have got test results within 24 hours.
Yeah, no, I can beat that. I beat your one anyway. So, I had one recently. I got it in 36 hours.
So I'm not sure what the hell is going on, you know.
5 days. He can't tell his parents. He can't tell you what is wrong with him or how he is feeling. But does he still have symptoms? Does he still have a fever?
Up and down. Yeah. Up and down.
And the convulsions?
No. Well, I mean, the parents control that because they know how to deal with him. But his underlying conditions, if only we could get a yes or no, he has COVID or he doesn't have.
What difference would it make? I mean, apart from allowing everybody else in the house to get out of the house and back to school and so on, what difference would it make to him?
Would at least his parents could say, yeah, we'll walk you up to the shop in the pram or his special needs chair or whatever, and we can go out for a walk or whatever. At this moment in time, they're all locked within the house since last Wednesday. And they haven't moved outside that environment.
I know. And there you are feeling, presumably, that I have to be his voice. The poor fella can't speak for himself.
Absolutely.
And the system has somehow let him slip between the cracks.
Something has gone wrong. And don't get me wrong, as in the health service has been very good to me, but I'm a private patient. However, I have underlying issues. However, it shouldn't matter with COVID. So how come majority of people can get results within 3 days, some get within 24 hours, and here's a vulnerable chap, and nothing within 5 days?
One can only assume, Sandra, and it's of no consolation to you whatsoever, that if he had his test on Wednesday, we know from the Minister for Health that Thursday they did a record number of tests, 19,500, that presumably when you're dealing with those kind of volumes of tests, there are one or two that are subject to administrative error or whatever. Or maybe because it went via the ambulance service and not via the drive-in test centres, it's being treated somehow differently.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. However, my voice is for vulnerable people and disabled people. How can this gap be so enormous? 5 days and no results.
Sandra, what was it like for the family back in the lockdown when they were all in together? How many brothers and sisters does Charlie have?
He has two sisters.
And he's there, 95% blind, very little muscle control, limited communication ability.
Yeah. Horrendous. But his parents wouldn't be any different. They wouldn't show him any different, wouldn't treat him any different. Love, everything.
Of course not, but you must be worried for them.
Absolutely. And all they want is it positive or is it negative? And then they can get on with their lives.
Yeah.
And bring them out for a walk, bring them out into the fresh air. Do you know what I mean? It just makes no sense to me at the moment the way these tests are going. Makes no sense.
Well, as we say, though, for the majority of us, it does seem to be, you know, something that we can have confidence in. It's just really, really painful, really, really horrible to listen to when somebody as vulnerable as Charlie is in a situation like that. And have you not gone and sought a retest? You know, get the ambulance back out again.
But we haven't even got the first result. Do you know what I mean?
I think you could take it at this stage that's, you know...
They're going on the basis of what the doctors, the guidelines, everything. They're following all the guidelines. I mean, I happened to be walking down in that part of the country, and all I could do was look in the window and drop off milk and bread and whatever, just to get a sense myself of how he looked, how he was. Do you know what I mean? And my daughter was heartbroken that she couldn't give me a hug or anything like that. And I feel so passionate about nursing homes, and I get that, all that and what people are going through. But 5 days and we haven't even got a result of
yes or no. And for the likes of you and me, we could cope with a delayed test result, but for the most vulnerable people, you think that every special effort should and could be made.
Absolutely.
Stay on the line, Sandra, would you? I want to talk to John. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Philip. How are you?
1-8-57-15-815. Your niece is 22 years old. Was she a fit and healthy kind of person in the normal course of events?
Philip, she was a very normal, very bubbly, bright 22-year-old. I say, well, she is a very bright, bubbly 22-year-old girl. And great fun, and was very responsible in terms of how she, you know, she dealt with herself. She didn't go out with too many people. She tried to avoid crowds, that type of thing. But she, one day she went for a drive with her friend in a car, didn't know the friend was positive, and the friend gave it to her. And then she tested positive, and unfortunately a couple of other people in the family got it as well. I think four in the family got it as well. But the only symptom that she had as a 22-year-old girl was she lost her sense of smell. She had no other symptoms whatsoever. And after test, she isolated. She was very responsible, isolated for 10 days. And then she came out of it after 10 days and she was fine. And she was going about her business.
And she was asymptomatic throughout that entire time, apart from the sense of smell.
Yes, that's right, yes. Asymptomatic, if you like to say that, but she did lose a sense of smell.
Okay, and so that is what most younger people think, or when people think of younger people's experiences, is to think, it's something that they'll brush off, but not so.
In actual fact, after she got over it and after her brother got over it, I was of the opinion, well, look, you'd be able to now go into pubs and you'd be able to go to various places and you won't have to worry about getting it because you've already got it, you know. That's what.
And you shouldn't be a risk to anybody else, absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I was thinking this, great, she's over it and everything. But then she said to her father one day, my legs feel a bit funny. And the father, she got started getting pins and needles in her legs, and the father brought her to the GP. The GP said, get her into hospital. So she went into hospital and she was admitted. And after being admitted, her whole body from the neck down went numb. And then she lost the use of her right hand. So for young people, that's tragic because they can't use the phone. She can't pick up the phone and text people. If she wants to talk to us, we have to go on to the voice call.
I say, when you say lost the use of it, through pain or she just wasn't able to...
She's just not able to use it.
And had she any of the other more typical symptoms like shortness of breath or heart palpitations or anything like that?
No, none of those.
And the doctor said this paralysis was definitely COVID, yeah?
100% COVID related. And they said they see symptoms, you know, not unlike this from time to time, you know. And young people, I think it's very important. I thought Jack Edge was brilliant in the Late Late Show the other night, a very brave young fella, and he has done the country a great service by going on the Late Late Show and showing that young people are not immune to this thing. But the thing that upset me about my niece was that she got over it. She was actually over the COVID, and it's a post-COVID symptom she has now, where she can't use her right hand. Now, I believe...
And how are the legs? You said that they were numb. I mean, is she able to walk?
Yes, she can walk. She can walk. But you know what it's like? She said, it's like when you wake up having slept on your hand and your hand goes all that, you know, the way your hand goes funny and numb. She said, that's what it's like. And so she's obviously very upset. Her parents are very upset. And they told her she will recover, but it's going to take time, maybe a couple of weeks before she starts really feeling it in any way better. I think it's very important that young people and the parents of young people realize that, you know, this COVID thing is a very, very serious illness. It's not like the flu.
And her brother got it as well.
Her brother got it as well.
What happened to him?
He got a cough. He was a bit chesty, but he's fine now. He's over it now and he's fine. And her sister-in-law got it as well. And her mother got it. Her mother still has she's still quite weak and she hasn't got... the energy levels she used to have, and please God, that'll come back in time. But I have another nephew who got it in April. He's 28, and his big thing was running. He's a marathon runner, and he runs a lot. And he got it back in April, and he was pretty bad with it. He got a flu, like it wasn't going to hospital or anything like that. Today, almost 6 months later, he has only 30% lung capacity. So he cannot go running anymore. He can't go running marathons. So two in my immediate family have two young people have had this, and two of them have been very, very badly affected by it.
So presumably you're thinking that anybody who's out there now trying to quantify the impact of COVID purely in the number of positive cases or the number of ICU spaces that are being taken up are really not seeing the whole picture here, that what you actually need to look at is this long COVID and the number of lives that are going to be blighted by it.
100%, but this is not just about fatalities. I heard you talking there, five people died, and that's absolutely tragic. But we're not
three
hearing...
Three people in Kilminchie Lodge in Leash, yeah.
Sorry, excuse me, three people, okay. And that is terrible. But it's not just about fatalities. It's about the long-term effects of this terrible disease on young people. And that's what needs to get out there. People who like playing football, people who like girls who like playing basketball, camogie, whatever they like doing, that could be ended with this thing. You know, certainly it could be ended for a year or 6 months or more. Yeah. They won't be able to play it.
51551, the text number. Therese, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Philip. I'm very well, thank you.
What did you want to say?
I would just like you to clarify something for me, if possible. I'm just wondering if I'm missing something, or do children not spread COVID? The reason I'm asking this is I went into my local supermarket recently and I was surrounded by 8 to 11-year-olds. Maybe there could have been 6 to 8 of them. And I just thought to myself, these children are not wearing masks. They're unaccompanied. They do not have an adult with them. And I just said, like, do the shop assistant lives not matter? Or the people in the shop? I just can't understand it. Because people in general are making a great effort. The older generation like myself, wearing masks and washing hands. I'm just wondering, like...
You'd like to see the kids under the age of 13 who at the moment don't have to in most settings, but you'd like to see them wearing masks.
Well, absolutely. If they can spread the virus... I feel if they're capable of going into a supermarket on their own, surely they'd be capable of putting on a mask.
Hi, Philip. Can I come back in here?
Sandra, please.
Yeah, please. My call was just about my voice for vulnerable people and disabled people. And I am, like with previous callers there, I'm delighted that, you know, everything's working okay for them. But for me, at this stage, 5 days later, for a vulnerable and disabled child, and no test results.
I know. Well, look, I would hope that if you get onto the GP that you're able to get another test ordered and you're able to get it within 24, 36 hours and you'll get resolution there, Sandra, because...
Can we not just, like, the first test, why have we not got results from that? Why do we have to go on to a second test?
Well, because at this stage, yeah, that's 5 days old and things might have moved on. He might have developed symptoms. He might have passed through the other side of it. So
what happened the first test?
Well, I'd say it's a fairly big haystack that you'll be going trying to weed that out.
I know,
of it, which is all the more distressing for you, Sandra.
I just wanted to make it aware.
Yep.
That was my call.
Well, you've done that. Thank you very much, Sandra. 51551 1850 715 815. So, Therese... Maybe it's not just everybody under the age of 13. Maybe all of us should do everybody else around us the courtesy of wearing masks at all times.
100%. But it's advised that people over 13 definitely wear them. I mean, the same should be in place for children.
Yeah, go on.
Politicians, I think, should re-examine this issue and just give a directive that everybody going into a shop should wear a mask.
But hang on, why do we have to wait for politicians to tell us what we know is the right thing to do? Why do we have to be told?
I understand what you're saying, but obviously some people don't get it. You know? So I just feel that I don't think you can blame parents for this. Children will be children. But I think if they weren't served in the shop, and I'm not blaming the shop assistants because it's not within their right to tell a child they can't serve them. So I just think that it should be a blanket rule that nobody should enter a supermarket or a shop without a mask.
Well, the one thing that we have learned here is that when you do start pointing the finger of blame at any one group, everybody else in that group who is doing the correct thing, is wearing masks, observing social distancing, washing their hands and so on, says, well, hang on a second. If my group, if my cohort is being unfairly blamed, what profits it me to observe the rules at all? And it's been shown time and time again that people will just say, screw it. If my generation are getting the blame here, why the hell should I observe the rules?
But I think children under 13 need that little bit of guidance, you know? And if they're not getting it from home, I feel it should be enforced.
All right, Therese, thank you very much.
Thank you, Philip.
No, thank you. Bye. And thank you, John. Thank you very much, Sandra, as well. Good luck.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.